Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is written in Exodus chapter 40. In the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark and put the poles on the ark and set the mercy seat above on the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the screen and screened the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. And the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord. And the epistle is written in Titus chapter 3, that when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not a light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for this Christmas morning is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This whole text. As much as sinful man is duped into thinking that he will find fulfillment in mammon or things of this world, first commandment. As much as this undoubtedly takes place, the proper Christ Mass is celebrated by the church, and nothing can ruin that. That is why he was born, to give of himself as an atonement for the sins of the world, to bring comfort and joy, as the Christ brings peace between sinful man and God. Nothing can ruin the proper celebration of the Christ Mass, not even death, for death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Death has been put to rest in the manger. It dares not to rear its fallen head, for if the ox or the donkey know their master, how much more so does death know who has caused his demise? The Christ Mass cannot be ruined any more than God can be ruined with a birth in Bethlehem undone. The Word became flesh. That is a fact. You have a Savior, and this fallen realm is not your home. God as man, God as a baby, has laid himself into the manger to make himself food for men made beasts by inwardness and selfish lust. He made himself the bread of life and gives himself to mouths dulled by evil words. But he will not be stopped. He will do what he was sent to do despite sin. He will make men his. He enters in. His light shines. Not through brilliant bulbs that will eventually fail and be thrown out in frustration. His light shines because he is truth. And his truth will never dull or fail. The light of his truth drives off the darkness, not dissolving sins like cobwebs before the sun, nor like the melting fog in the heat of the day. God loves you and sent his only begotten Son to pay for your sins. Sins don't just disappear, they're dealt with, and he dealt with them for you. He gives himself to men, that men might become his, by the grace of God, having faith toward him and fervent love toward one another. Christ has redeemed you. He has rescued you out of death, out of gloom and despair. And though you still mourn, though you still weep, and still know some touch of anger and frustration, you do not mourn as those who have no hope. For the way, the truth, and the life has been revealed to you. The Word became flesh. You've seen the light on the sacred page. You've heard it in sacred song. You've felt the watery hand of God and his name put upon you. You are his. The Word became flesh, and by faith alone, your frail flesh will soon leave behind the corruption of this present age and become not angels, but like the angels in heaven, holy, alive, and good, full into a manger and nailed to a cross, made alive out of death, is laid upon the tongues of men, keeping them temples of the Holy Spirit, keeping them as they receive the Word made flesh by faith alone. His Word does what it was sent to do. He calls you back. He speaks you clean. He forgives your sins and gives you and sustains your faith. He cannot be stopped. But still, he is not done. The Word is cast, the Word made flesh. He enters into the hearts of men by way of Word, water, bread, and wine. And through faith that he creates and sustains, he accounts men more than good, but holy and righteous. For he gives of himself. He joins himself to men. He brings them by the Spirit to the Father as a bride, immaculate and pure, purchased and won with the blood of God's flesh, which proceeded out of the Virgin's womb. Did his own receive him not? Was there no room for him in the inn? It did not stop him. He still loves men. He took your flesh. He redeemed this fallen race from this awful dying place. He laid himself not only into a manger, surrounded by stinking dung and urine in the cold winter air, but also he laid himself even worse on a rough wooden cross, surrounded by liars and cheats, thieves and terrorists, and gossipers and greedy materialists. He has loved you to the very end. No price was too great, not even the life of the Word made flesh. There, through Christ crucified for you, there is the glory you have held, grace upon grace. He loves you and gives his gifts of forgiveness to you, not because you deserve them or earn them or return the favor, but because of his love and his gifts. He bestows his grace upon his grace for the sake of his grace. Grace for grace, gift for gift, love for love, so that your cups overflow. His light shines from his crucifixion to the back of the empty tomb, and men are born anew. God is with you. He is for you. He has given himself to you. Death has no claim. By grace alone, because of the merits of Christ Jesus alone, through faith alone, you belong to God. He is the begotten of the Father from eternity. And at the time of Caesar Augustus, he began as a man, as one of you, your great Emmanuel, in the flesh. Nothing can ruin that truth. The devil has already tried. He could not overcome the light. Grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ, and you are here because Jesus himself has declared it to you. Here is joy that no one, that no thing can snatch away. Joy in the midst of sadness, life in the midst of death, hope in the midst of despair, God in the midst of men. The Word became flesh. Your flesh will receive. receive his reward in due time. And in the meantime, he brings you to wait in peace in him. If your idea of Christmas hasn't shaped up the way you planned or expected or dreamed, if you're sad or lonely, that doesn't change the truth. The Word became flesh. You have a Savior. Your solace and your comfort, your peace is here. For the Word made flesh is the only stable thing, the only thing that does not age.